The Lord gave me something last night that I want to share with my brothers and sisters. And I thank everybody for sticking around to hear this because it's important. If you're literally looking for a way to increase your faith and to be assured, I mean, you can't increase your faith, but Jesus can. And because we always look to ourselves. We always look to see what we can do. We could build our little stairway to heaven and try to make things right. That's not Christianity. That's Catholicism. And all the so-called Protestant churches out there are following their lead just as prophesied. I mean, what the Lord gave last night, He's been giving to us all along. But He revealed something to me that I missed the last time I looked at that little booklet, Steps to Christ. I'll put it in the stream for those of you that are sticking around in the stream, too. Thank you for being here as well. It's on page 48. And again, if you are the type of person that when asked, why are you walking the way you're walking when you know Christ is coming sooner? Or why do you declare yourself a Christian when you keep doing these strange things? And your answer is always, I'm trying, I'm trying. Are you really? Because there's ways that we can try, but at the same time, we give up. I remember when I was first looking, right before I left the Catholic Church, kept trying to clean up my act. Everything would go great. I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that for 2 weeks sometimes, all the way up to 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, I'd be right back into the sin. And then I'd weep and repent and confess. And be all clean again. Everything's great for another week, maybe 2 weeks. All right back into the sin. Couldn't figure out why. It's because I was trying to do it. I wasn't letting the Lord do it. The Lord has literally given each and every one of us a power that we have been wielding, but mostly unconsciously. What He's been showing me the last 2 or 3 weeks has made it even clearer. But what I read last night, it confirmed everything. Hands down, left and right for the last 2 weeks. I was asking Him, oh, so this is why You showed me this, You showed me that. Or why this happened and why that happened and why I'm doing this. Because we can do something, brothers and sisters, that has to do with a one-word statement. It's a six-letter word. Every one of us can do this. Every one of us. And most of us do it. But at the same time, we don't realize we're doing it. And we're looking for a way to do it. Now, it might not be so shocking to some of you. I don't know. It was shocking to me last night as to how simple this is. I even look at, as I was reading about this, because what I'm doing is, you know, I've been doing this for a while now, is, you know, other than my normal studies, before I go to bed at night, because it helps me get to sleep, too, if I read something, and I decided I'm going to read Steps to Christ again. Get on my little rocker, and I just start to reading, and I might read a chapter. I might read only half a paragraph, but I go into prayer when I'm doing it. And I'm asking them questions. Does this mean that? Or does that mean this? Or whatever. And that 5 or 10 minute read turns out to be an hour. Because it's enjoyable to be in His presence. It's just an amazing thing. I mean, I would prefer being in the woods on my rocker. But yes, I like being out in, I don't know. Even before I was a Christian, I liked to walk in the woods. I mean, I would talk to Him even though I didn't realize I wasn't walking the way I should. Thought I was a Christian. You know, even as a little kid, you know, crawling around in the prairies talking to Him. And yeah, I would crawl because I want to get down there in the weeds, in the grass, you know, and the grass was always over my head. And so I would just crawl around looking for snakes and, you know, salamanders and toads, whatever, or the occasional multicolored caterpillar. Yeah, boys do that. Yeah, girls, we're not afraid of bugs, okay? and so, I just wanted to share this. If you all have the book Steps to Christ, please open it to page 48. For those of you on the stream, it's on screen. All right? And there's some meaty stuff in here. And please, you're gonna have to be on the edge of your seat for this one. Because it is amazing. It's really pretty simple if you think about it. Again, page 48, Steps to Christ, Sister White says, many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? Yeah, we've all said that. We all want to do better. I'm constantly praying that prayer. I want that letter rain. I know what's coming, and I don't want the letter rain because I'm all scared that the plagues are going to come, and the little time of trouble that we're already in is going to become the time of trouble. Then, of course, the time of Jacob's trouble at the end of Plague 6 and or hellfire. No, I'm not fearful of hellfire. I don't worship Jesus because I don't want to burn. I worship Jesus because I love him for what he did for me 2,000 years ago. When you look at what happened on the cross. Yeah, we understand he died. We understand they beat him beyond recognition. And then hung him on a cross on top of it. They shredded his flesh. And he did all that just for us so that we wouldn't have to go through all that. The time of trouble is coming. We can't get through it without, like Pastor Alvin was saying, if you disobey, even in the slightest way, you're quenching the Holy Spirit. We all heard him say it. We all know what it says in the scriptures. We all know this truth. But still, we ask, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? She says, you desire to give yourself to him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Think about that. In slavery to doubt. Weak in moral power. How many of us have sought to lay hands on a loved one that's sick? We think it's not going to be answered because we're in doubt. Our prayers seem less effective. I mean, just look at the history of the Christian church the last 2,000 years. I remember as that little kid walking out of that elevator and seeing that doctor say what he did to the family. Y'all start crying when they say all we can do is pray. And that shocked me. Because I was a little kid. I didn't know that prayer sometimes wasn't answered, is how their mindset was. Or never answered. That's how Christianity has been designed in these last days. Prayer? Come on, give me a break. Because that's today's world. We are weak in moral power. We are slaves to doubt. And controlled by the habits of our life of sin. She says, your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. Yeah, that hit hard, didn't it? It hits hard for all of us. How many of us says, Father God, I'm so sorry I did that. You confess, you repent, you say, I'm never going to do it again. A few days, a few months, a few years later, you do it again. Your promises and your resolutions are like ropes of sand, she says. She says, you cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. So many people think that's how you do it. And the Lord even allowed me to have sleepless nights, as you all recall, and thank you for all your prayers, because it's much better now. And when I was doing some research in regards to this, you can't control your thoughts. You can't shut yourself up to be able to fall asleep. That was my main concern, is I couldn't get to sleep because my mind wouldn't shut up. All these things that are happening in the church family and in our families, be it siblings or children, is just constantly flying between my ears. And I'm sure it happens to you too. Some of you can't sleep as well. You worry about the church family. You worry about each other. You worry about yourself. And so, again, you cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. Now, here's where it hits, like a ton of golden bricks from heaven. And I'm hoping you're listening very closely. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. I love when she says stuff like that. You need not despair. Because something good's about to be said. And what she says next here is going to floor some of you. That one word that six-letter word that places Satan in fear and anger to the point he flees from you like he's on fire. He's got to find a place to cool off. He just can't handle it. When we Christians use this one word or apply this one word, that word, that six-letter word is, I'll put it in the room, six letters, right there, choose. Now, we've been doing this for years, brothers and sisters. But did you know this about this word? Check it out. She says, what you need to understand is the true force of the will. The true force of the will. And you can even see how the world mocks this force. You want proof that the world mocks this force? How many of us saw? How many of us saw Star Wars? Let the force be with you, right? We actually have a power. We have a weapon. We have a force that makes a demon, the head of the demons, run off in abject fear. It's our will to choose. When you make the decision that what he's tempting you with, you just say, nope, I choose not. He skedaddles. He can't stay in your presence. That's a power. That's a force that is from on high. That's from our Lord, our Savior and King. She says, this is the governing power in the nature of man. This is what God gave us. We're going to need to understand this in the coming days even more so when that letter rain falls. Or even before the letter rain falls, because if we don't get this down, we ain't getting wet. She says, again, this is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will, meaning do the right thing. The power of choice God has given to men. It's theirs to exercise. It's a weapon. It's a literal weapon that we can use against Satan. Last night I was so excited when I heard this, I couldn't get to sleep. but he eventually let me fall asleep. But I literally wanted to run downstairs and say, is there any way we can go back in time and, you know, so I can get on the mic and share this with my brothers and sisters? Because this is just amazing. It's ours to exercise. She says, you cannot. Now, listen to this. You know, because we keep trying to do this. You know, I'm going to get myself all cleaned up. Because I remember for 18 months I kept trying to do it my way. You know, I was trying to do it however my brain was saying it to me. And it wasn't until after those 18 months I just let go. I said, okay, forget this. I can't do this. Father God, you got to do it because I can't do it. I just proved to myself beyond recognition that I can't do this. I keep falling. And then he reminded me of a dream that I had the night before. And there's no way anybody's ever going to hear that dream. It's private. But I asked him, is this what this dream means? I didn't hear the still small voice. It was just a thought voice, but it was a big old YES. And that's when I collapsed in tears. Couldn't move. It was like I couldn't even breathe. I was just there like a blob. She says, the power of choice God has given the man, it's theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections, but you can choose to serve him. There's the power. We can choose to serve him. Satan comes up with his temptation. I choose not to listen to you. He runs. Guess what happens? Jesus gets that much closer. She says, you can give him, Jesus, you can give him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Yeah, we know that scripture. You can give him your will. He will then work in you. Okay, those of you that are wondering how to get your faith increased, how to get stronger in Christ, just choose to do it. When you're tempted to drink, tempted to watch porn, tempted to eat something you shouldn't eat, tempted to get angry, tempted to whatever. Choose not to do it. And you just beat Satan in that one moment. That's the force God gave us. It's a power. Okay, granted, we don't see a bunch of bullets flying or even any kind of weaponry, but Satan does. He's got no choice to see it because he knows what it is. We're choosing Christ over him. And that defeats him each and every time. That's how you become a stronger Christian. I mean, you have to, of course, do the first thing by accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. And then, yeah, go from there by choosing every right action. She says, thus, okay, let me backtrack again. You can give him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Thus, your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. It's the Spirit that he sent us, the Comforter, one he promised. She says, your affections will be centered upon him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with him. Seriously, just try it for a week or two, those of you that are really on the edge of the fence or listening and you're not part of the church family, but you're on WTPR and you're trying to figure out how to get your life right with Christ. You know what you're doing is wrong and you want to stop. Every time you're tempted in the next few days, just choose not to do it. And guess what will happen? You're going to see this happen with your own eyes. We've all seen it, but we didn't know we had this power. But now you can actually wield the power. Every time the devil tempts you, choose not to do it. You're flexing your spiritual muscles. He backs off, and you become that much stronger in Christ. And then the next time it happens, choose again to follow Christ. The next time it happens, choose again. And before you know it, it's just childishly easy to send Satan on his way. Oh, amen. Proverbs 15:23, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Or good is it? She says, now listen to this, because a lot of Christians do this. Desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go, but if you stop there, they will avail nothing. So you can say, I want to be a Christian. I want to be holy. You can say that till you're blue in the face. Ain't going to mean anything one until you choose to do it. Many, she says, many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. That's that power. We have the force of will. We have an ability to say no to Satan and yes to Jesus. That's where the holy war is. And it's always been there. And Satan knows it. So does our Lord, Savior, and King. He just made it a little clearer for some of us today. Again, many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to be Christians. You know, I remember back when I was thinking about becoming a Christian 40-some years ago, and the temptation, of course, from the enemy of souls was that, well, if you become a Christian, you won't be able to do this, you won't be able to do that, you won't be able to do this, whatever the case may be, whatever my sins were, right? Because I knew I had to give up something. And then when I did decide and let go and let Jesus and stop trying to do it myself, because I know I found out I can't build a stairway to heaven because it's all built on fleshly attributes, and I'm thinking, I can do this. When I can't. I can't even keep the Ten Commandments. See, that's a major point Christ has made for ever since Moses threw those tablets at the golden calf. None of us can do any of this without his help. But we have to put the foot forward. And how do we put the foot forward? That one six-letter word, choose. Just choose to do it. And he'll take it from there. It's just that easy. Christianity is not rocket science. Just choose not to do this. Choose not to do that. You have a problem with dress reform? Choose not to do it anymore. You have a problem with drinking? Don't drink anymore. It's just that easy. Oh, wait, everybody says it's an addiction. Everybody says it's a sickness. Yeah, if you want to believe the world, you go right ahead. But as for me and my house, we'll love and serve the Lord. Because many alcoholics that have been delivered from it, didn't even go to Alcoholics Anonymous where they have a theology about a higher power. If you honestly choose not to do it, he will help you. I remember when I chose to quit smoking cigarettes because I heard the still small voice. This, I think this was the second time in life. Will you give them up for me? That's all he said. And I said, yeah. I just opened a new pack, lit it, took one hit, and I heard him. I dropped the cigarette, put it out, and threw the pack in the garbage right there in front of the people that I was working with. I was at a job. And I literally told them what just happened. Because they knew I was, I was a street preacher at the time. I had a ministry, but I wasn't full time or not yet. Obviously, I had a 9-to-5. And when I chose to quit the cigarettes, I became a non-smoker. Now here, let me show you something. I'm not doing this to toot my horn. Everybody knows I preach off the sleeve. My experiences I will share to help others. It's no different than Isaiah preaching naked. It's no different than Hosea marrying Gomer. We all do these things to help others see. That night, after I quit smoking, I had to go and meet a buddy, watch him bowl. Eddie. You guys know who Eddie is, and I'm not going to mention his last name. I wanted to see him bowl, because when I used to shoot stick, I used to do it they had a pool hall inside a bowling alley. And I hate bowling. I'm like 150. That's it. Maybe 100. I just didn't like, I couldn't get a hook, nothing. But boy, could I shoot stick, right? And so I'm in the pool hall, and I'm watching. And Eddie would throw a 300, had no hook, he just had power. And he would throw that ball and obliterate the pins. And then I watched the other people that had the hooks, and I always thought that, well, they have a talent. And I liked watching that while I'm shooting stick, in between games. Well, this night I had to go and check him out. His dad was going to be there. His dad walks up to me with a martini in one hand and a lit cigarette in the other and a lit cigarette in his own mouth. This man has always been very evil, and I'm still praying for him. His name is J.R. Keep him in your prayers. That's Eddie's dad. And but he didn't know I just quit smoking a few hours earlier. He knew I quit drinking, though, and he didn't like that about me. He wanted the old Nick back, and he knew my drink. It was just straight gin. And so I said, no, thank you. And then I told him what happened earlier in the day. So, and he says, you're going to make me waste the cigarette? I says, dude, you're going to waste that whole glass of gin too, People will try to afford. But the thing is, I was a non-smoker all of a sudden. And a few days later, I'm cruising up 87th Avenue. Yeah, it was the old neighborhood. And I happened to see an old buddy I used to hang with. His name was Mark. And I locked it up a little bit, turned it sideways, shot back, pulled into where he was at, and he was coming down some road. I got out of the car and said, dude, so I started walking towards him. Mark was kind of a nervous guy. He always had to have a cigarette in his jaw, to calm himself down if somebody was coming up to him, And so he sees me coming. He grabs his pack out of his pocket. He opens the pack up. But as he opens it, he flips it. It was a Marlboro pack with the box, and you flip it open. He flipped it open a little bit too hard and went flying in the air and landed at my feet with all these cigarettes all spilled out. And so I had to get down and hand him all, help him with the cigarettes, put them all back in the pack. And he handed me one. And I said, no, thanks, I quit smoking. That's all I said. He didn't know I quit smoking a day or two earlier. I hadn't seen him in years. He thought I quit smoking years ago. He literally took it. Because I chose. This is why it was so important for the Lord to show me this last night, because we've all been doing this our whole lives. We just didn't know that we had that power. And he showed me when I made that decision and chose to do as he asked me to do regarding cigarettes, he took it away instantly. It was gone. I was literally a non-smoker. Cold turkey, the whole 9 years, gone. Not even a craving. But there's so many that desire to be Christians that do not choose. Look at how she finishes. Because if you're looking for new faith, more faith, strength in faith, she says, through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. This is a life-changing word, the word choose. It's life-changing. Whatever he tempts you with, just choose not to do it. You will most assuredly get stronger and stronger to the point you will receive that light of rain. Because now he knows you're going to make the right decisions. But notice what she says. She says, by yielding, and this is for those of you that are trying to figure out a way to get stronger in Christ, listen to what she says. By yielding up your will to Christ, you know, to choose, always do what he says to do. By yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. Or in today's language, Satan and his demons. Principality and powers of the air, like the Bible says. She says, you will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus through constant surrender to God, which means you keep choosing to follow the Lord's will, then Satan's will, which is all about the flesh. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. Amen and amen. And I hope and pray that everyone was blessed by what was just shared.